From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the Bible doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with the sanctification of the Spirit. From the text in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we see that it is the Holy Spirit who accomplishes the work of sanctification or holiness in the believer. As Dr. Cairns has shown, holiness is a characteristic of every Christian without exception. It is to affect every area of his life, and it goes on throughout his earthly existence. He has emphasized that sanctification is a godly work carried out specifically by the Holy Spirit. Today we'll see that holiness is a gospel work. The Bible teaches that sanctification is by the blood of Christ, just as salvation is. It is vital to understand that there must be salvation, that is, the new birth in the soul, before there can be any degree of holiness. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today, he deals with the reality of the great enemy of our souls, the devil.
The way the world thinks of the devil today is a joke. To most people, the devil's a joke. I've heard so many jokes about the devil. I've heard so many people's descriptions of the devil, and I've seen so many artists' impressions of the devil, that you could hardly blame people for treating him as a joke. And you know, that's the most subtle weapon in Satan's armory. His most subtle activity is to get men to treat him as a joke. But I want to tell you, he is no joke. The Bible says that as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the devil is walking about. Now, whether men like to believe it or not, and I'm not one for putting down all that men do and saying the devil made them do it and therefore they are not personally responsible. They are personally responsible for their own sins. But the devil is certainly walking around today. He is active today. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working or energizing in the children of disobedience. The Bible speaks of people who are taken captive by the devil at his will. The devil is not a joke. The devil is active. The devil is destructive. The devil is vile and depraved, and he's spreading vileness and depravity, and he is exacerbating every situation of human sinfulness. He is certainly accommodating and facilitating and urging all the natural inborn wickedness of men and women. Satan is active in our world today. He is not a joke. He is certainly binding, blinding men. He is making them miserable in life and damning their souls to eternal misery in hell. Now, with all that in mind, you can appreciate the power of the question that the Lord asks through Isaiah the prophet. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? If the devil is so active and so powerful, how can people ever be taken out of his hand? How can they ever be delivered from his power? Jesus Christ, our Savior, described Satan as being like a strong man, armed, sitting in his house and keeping his goods. You've got this great armed devil, as it were, and he's in possession of men and women's lives, and he's going to defend that possession. Now, who can cast him out? I know that you can see a whole lot of charismatic charlatans on television any day, and they're casting out the demon of this and the demon of that and the demon of the other thing, and they're talking nonsense. They know nothing of what they're affirming, and they're not casting Satan out. They're simply making the devil a joke and thereby enhancing his hold over man. Who can disarm that strong man? Who can cast him out? Who can overpower him? Who can take the prey out of the hand of the mighty? Those are the questions that arise from Scripture. You certainly can't do it yourself. So who can do it? The Bible tells you in John chapter 8, verse 36, whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ is the great liberator. He is stronger than the strong man. He can enter in. He can defeat him and deliver his goods. You look at Mary Magdalene. The devil had possession of her life. Seven devils possessed her. Jesus Christ set her free. You go to Mark's Gospel chapter 5, and there you've got the story of the demoniac of Gadara, a man possessed by a legion of devils. The devil had such possession of him, he made him live among the tombs, a naked outcast from society who struck fear into all around him. If you want to know what the devil was going to do with that man as soon as he could, then just see what the devil did when Jesus cast the demons into the herd of swine and they dashed headlong to their death. The devil meant to destroy the man as well. But Jesus came and he set him free. If you are bound by Satan and sin, bound in booze, in drugs, in pornography, in wickedness, in gambling, whatever the wickedness may be, Jesus Christ can set you free. If you're bound in self-righteous pride, Jesus Christ can set you free. He is able to save to the uttermost. If he sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, I trust you'll get to Christ, the great liberator.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. 5 of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Say we haven't sinned. It would be nice to say it if it were true. But sadly we do sin. Oh yes, every Christian has new life. But as one man I read said, sadly, very often we seem to be in a very sickly condition. Indeed, there are times in Christians' lives when you would begin to wonder if the life has not died out. Had you looked at the Corinthian Christians in Paul's day, you'd have had to wonder, were these people ever saved? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, you are carnal. Man, I want to tell you that that is an awful indictment. And as you look across American Christianity today, and as you look across British Christianity today, and Western European Christianity today, you look at a people who have every advantage. But by and large, they're using those advantages merely for the pleasures of the flesh. And you've got to say you're carnal. The biggest indictment of Western Christianity, when a man like Georgie Vins comes out of Russia, he could say, I would rather be in Russia than in America. Just from a personal standpoint. Not because Russia's a better country. Not because he's not grateful for the hospitality of America and the base it gives to help the Russian Christians. No, no, no. But because in Eastern Europe you've got a people who have nothing but Christ to live for.
In America and in Britain, you've got a people who name the name of Jesus and they're carnal. They care for a little, except a show. Oh yes, at times you look at Christians and you wonder, has the life not died out? But if they're saved, whatever the sickness, you can say, this sickness is not unto death. I think of the words of Micah, and this is true of every Christian, mind you. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. It's a good text for every believer. The devil would come to crow over the failures and sins of a Christian. Rejoice not, O mine enemy. When I fall, I will arise. That's true of a Christian. The sow can return to her wallowing in the mire. The old hog, oh, it can be at home in the mire. Now let me be honest with you, most people don't realize this. I spent a little time with a pig farmer. Large number, hundreds and hundreds of pigs. I know what it is to muck them out and smell like one of them myself and feed them and all the rest of it. I know the way you get a 300-pound pig up a ramp where it doesn't want to go. Yeah, I've been there. Most people think, you know, a pig just loves to be filthy. Don't you believe it? Not necessarily. Actually, in certain circumstances, pigs can be some of the cleanest animals a farm can have. Part of that pig farm, the pigs were as white as snow when they were very careful to keep themselves that way. But let them out and put them in a messy place, and they were just as much at home in the mud pool as they were anywhere else. But the sheep of God's pasture, my, they may get the mud and the mire on their coat, but they be sickly until the shepherd cleans it out. That's the difference. Child of God can never stay there. When I fall, I shall arise. The Apostle Paul cried, who shall deliver me? A Christian cries as he feels and sins, Lord, who shall deliver me? If he depends on his own efforts, he feels, and he's filled with frustration. But thank God he doesn't have to depend on his own efforts. I read to you from the book of Micah. The previous verse says, 7 and 7 says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That's the confidence of the believer. When Paul said, who shall deliver me? He says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sanctification, basically, therefore, is a work of God. And it's a work of God that enables you and me to walk and work according to the will of God. Let me show you this very clearly, because most Christians don't grasp it. How often do you hear the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Now, what does it mean? Now, obviously we can say a man is a new creation because he's got a new life and the Spirit of God has made him a partaker of the divine nature. Yes, he's a new creature, he's in a new state, he has a new heart, he has a new view in life, he has a new aim in life, he has a new master, he has a new destiny. Yes, he's a new creature in all those ways. But in actual fact, as it works out in the life, what does this mean in terms of living a holy life? You see, I have heard preachers preach this simply to say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And they paint such a picture, and they set such a what people think to be an impossible standard, that they have sea of people wondering, well, if I am not just about absolutely perfect, can I be a new creature at all? What is the meaning here? It's always good to let the Holy Ghost talk for himself. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 15. And watch this one carefully. And if you can double the page back or put your finger in also to have your finger right on chapter 5 and verse 6. For we're going to read the two verses right together. 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Two texts with one message. Paul says in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. He says there's only one thing that matters. And in one place he calls that thing a new creature, and in the other place he calls it faith working by love. The new creation is, at least in one sense, faith working by love. Thus a man is called a new creation, or there is to him a new creation. First, when the Holy Ghost regenerates him, implanting faith in his heart. And that faith then, by the nourishing grace and power of the Spirit of God, that faith works. Isn't that what the Epistle of James is all about? Faith without works is dead. A faith that doesn't work will not bring you to heaven. But faith in Christ works by love. Now that answers the question, how can I be holy? The Holy Ghost has given me faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost stimulates that faith in Jesus Christ so that out of love for Christ, by faith I work to do what pleases Him. The love of Christ constraineth us. Faith only works by love. This is a godly work. Leads me straight, therefore, to say it is a gospel work. The work of the Holy Spirit of God is peculiarly to make known to us what we have in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. We have received the Spirit, and His work is to show us the things that are freely given to us of God. That would make me say this, that it is the work of Christ for us. That's the basis of the work of the Holy Ghost in us. Paul makes this clear over in Hebrews chapter 9. And in verse 13 and 14, he says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now this is vital. Remember this. Sanctification is by the blood of Jesus Christ. I could prove that again and again in the Bible. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. With what purpose? That he might cleanse and sanctify it. The blood shed for our sanctification. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Therefore, that he might sanctify the people, Christ suffered without the gate. Revelation 12 and verse 11. How did they overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, sanctification is by the blood of Christ. Now let me get that down. This is a gospel work. John Owen talked about holiness. And he was making the point that there never was, there certainly is not, and there never can be or will be, in this world, what he called the least dram of holiness. But what? Flowing from Jesus Christ is communicated by the Spirit according to the truth and promise of the gospel. There isn't the least dram of holiness apart from the gospel, apart from what the blood has purchased. Now you think that one through. To be holy, you must first be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.